I needed to remember some very basic things about the gospel, who God is, who God says we are, and what are we supposed to do about it.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Eunice, and I believe we need all the help we can get when it comes to living a full and free life. Here you'll find honest truth, practical tips, and perspective changes that help you embrace the miracle that is your life. It's an in-process conversation that's going to be unfiltered, and it better be fun. Let's get real together.
You guys, welcome back to Let's Be Real. I'm super excited for today's episode because I have a guest with me. We were just laughing so hard because I have been convinced for several months that Aubrey and I already had a conversation about her book.
I love
and
this.
The only reason I thought that is because of how good the book is. Like, aww. I don't know, you guys, like listeners, if you guys are watching this, if you've had a book where you feel like I'm in a conversation with the author, which honestly is like the best thing that can happen as an author. And that's how I felt about Aubrey. So we're welcoming Aubrey to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
I am so honored to be here. I love you. I love what you do. And the fact that you just said that, I'm grateful to be here. I needed that. So thank you for that.
It's like, Nicole. The funny thing is it's like 100% honest. Like I feel like an idiot because I told Aubrey right before we started recording, I reached out to Stacey, my assistant, and I was like, we already had her on the podcast, right? And she's like, I don't think you did. I'm like, wow. Because I was having like, it was weird, Aubrey, because I read your book. By the way, I have it right here. I read your book on a plane.
Oh, cool.
And I was like having moments. Like I have all of these places where it's marked and I'm like misting up and I'm feeling really connected. And so I think you just were like, your spirit was on the plane with me.
I love that. We connected on like a soul plane. We connected
on a very elevated level. Yeah. No pun intended. Okay. So you guys, let me tell you who Aubrey is in case you haven't met her yet. Aubrey Sampson. She's a speaker. I love how many roles you have, by the way.
It's exhausting.
Speaker, church planter, pastor, co-host of two different shows, Nothing Is Wasted and The Common Good radio show. You are a mom. You love to help people embrace their God-given identities. What should be in your bio if all we knew was what your day is like today? What would be the real bio?
The real based bio on is today? She's always in her pajamas. Like it's lucky if she gets dressed. Like, I mean, I think I've got my pajama pants on right now because everything I do is typically from home unless I'm out speaking somewhere or at a church thing. So I rarely fix my hair, get out of my pajamas. I try to put on a little makeup for things like this so I look semi-human, but otherwise that should be in my bio. She is always in her pajamas.
So does this mean you're an introvert?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because, the way introverts are comfortable with, like, this season is – it is a form. It's like foreign to everything about my extroversion. I'm
isn't
like,
it
I
funny?
Can't.
So my husband's an extrovert, and like you know, a month in to everything we've all experienced, he was losing his mind, and I was like, "This is the greatest moment of my life. I was born for this." Now I have gotten antsy in time because I do kind of tend towards extroversion in time. But yeah, I was born for
I don't know what it is. I mean, I will love me put some pajamas. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I just posted. I have my pajamas on Sunday at 1 p.m. when I finish a retreat. But if I do that for like 2 or 3 days, the third day I'm like, it's time to get dressed, girl. Like you got to go somewhere.
You gotta
like
go I can't. Out in the world. Go be with people.
I don't think I can stay home. Yeah, I don't. I can't think of a time I've stayed home for more than like 24 hours. I'll be like, let's go around the block. Like I gotta get moving.
I gotta go do something.
People. Yes, I love being with
people. That's
good. So we're all made differently, but I love that part of your bio. That's fantastic. Such a good word. And what's your last couple of months been like? I mean, obviously the book came out. I don't know what it would, it's a crazy time. So I'm curious kind of how things have been since the book's called Known, everybody. And we're going to talk about it in just a moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange to launch a book in a pandemic, right? So, and then this, I hope this doesn't sound too like woo-woo, but I think your audience will get it. Every author I know, include myself in this, when your book comes out, there seems to be some sort of major spiritual attack that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For instance, I've got a friend who just launched a book a few weeks ago, and now a concussion she had like 5 years ago, the symptoms are coming back.
Oh,
like,
my
literally
goodness.
Within the same week. And that tends to just be
the authors, I know that's their story. That may be your story too, Nicole, but so Known launched into the world and then my mother-in-law died from COVID.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, I'm not someone who believes like, because I launched the book, she died, but it's just the timing was like, what in the world? So we, launching a book in a pandemic was weird, but then honestly, I pulled back a lot emotionally, as an introvert, just in my grief, to take some time to honor my family and honor my grief, because it was wild. I mean, it's just, you know, unexpected, horrible, the worst thing you could think of. She was too young. She shouldn't have died. She died from COVID, you know?
Oh my goodness.
And so the fall, like coming out of book launch has been a wild, it's been a wild thing to have the beautiful opportunity to promote the book. And as the world is opening up again, do more speaking about the book, but also kind of wanting to hide from the world because of our pain and our sorrow as a family. Yeah. So it's been a very bizarre, I know it's been bizarre for everyone on different levels. It's been particularly bizarre just because COVID hit so close to home for us.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, we lost my father-in-law when he was 59, like just went like a alive and then dead 4 days later. Just a very unexpected.
Yeah.
And I did have someone say it's a premature death. Like the feeling of this shouldn't be happening.
Yes.
And it's not because the person hasn't lived a wonderful life or, you know, but yeah, there is something about that. And there, who's to say what the timetable is of a good life? And I know, you know, from our work as pastors, your 97-year-old grandma can die and it feels like it's too soon.
Absolutely.
Because we weren't made for death.
Right.
We were made for life.
That's right.
So I'm so sorry to hear that. Thank you for taking this time. And I know often there's sort of the other side, the sweet of the bittersweet. And if you don't mind sharing with us, is there anything that you're experiencing that is on that sweet side as you guys are grieving together at this loss?
Yeah. I would say, you know, it is one of those mysteries of pain and sorrow and hardship that God's Emmanuel presence is there. And I can't explain that beautifully, except to say, if you've walked through it, you know, like the Lord truly is not a distant deistic God, but a with us God. And I would say we have experienced God's presence. Even my kids, who we've lost family members before, but this is for them, their grandma, like they were the closest to. So even for them to see the Lord's sweetness, you know, meeting them has been really, really good and tender. And I've been really, really grateful. And then just to see my husband and his dad connect in a different way through their shared grief. They're actually going to go on a road trip here pretty soon just to kind of be together and process their grief together. It has been one of those treasures in the darkness that you couldn't have prepared for or written that narrative yourself, but like only God could take something so horrific and bring beauty here.
Oh my gosh. That's like, makes me misty. Just something about, you know, men connecting over this.
I know. Is there something to that? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. It's so dear. So
yeah.
Well, take us back a little bit before all of that and before the launch, and you've written books before. Tell us a little bit about the origin story of Known.
What,
you know, I'm always interested in how God births like these concepts in authors. And you obviously had a very a personal and vulnerable way of telling that story. But tell us a little bit more about how we got to this book.
Yeah. So the book before Known was a book called The Louder Song, which is a book about lament because of a season of grief that I went through unrelated to my mother-in-law. I lost someone who I was really, really close to. And then our family just got hit with everything all at once. And I, you know, after like 30 years of walking with the Lord, that was a season where I was like, have I been praying to the ceiling fan this whole time? Where are you? You know, and the Lord in his kindness taught me a lot about the spiritual language of lament and the spiritual practices of lament. So that book is that. And I would say Known is, I don't want to say Known is the other side. Like, I don't want to say, oh, now I went through grief, wrapped that up in a pretty package, and now I'm writing the book.
I'm an expert on grief.
I
now.
Totally know everything. I would say Known is just almost like I needed, and I'm writing in 2022 or 2020, excuse me.
Yeah.
So world is being shaken. I'm kind of coming out of a really, really heavy season of grief and pain. And it was almost like I needed to remember some very basic things about the gospel, who God is, who God says we are, and what are we supposed to do about it? Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's what's interesting to me is my third book is actually one of the most sort of quote unquote, like basic Christian foundational messages, like mm-hmm. who we are in Christ. But particularly I was working through some, shame from, I'm just gonna be really vulnerable with you and your listeners, Nicole, but I was continually working through some shame from my experiences of sexual assault as a mm-hmm. younger girl, mm-hmm. teenager. Mm-hmm. And all of this was happening in the middle of the pandemic. I think something about the forced isolation and some of the confusion, I just was triggering some things for me, mm-hmm. as I know it did for a lot of people. And I began to pray that the Lord would meet me in that. Like, God, what is your invitation? Why is this stuff coming up again? What is this mm-hmm. all about? And I realized in that time that I had been carrying a false name about myself. Mm. And I write about this in Known, but one of the false names that I carried was that I'm needy. Aubrey, you're so needy. Mm-hmm. And I particularly, the lie that I was speaking over myself was because of what happened to me, these two experiences of assault, it was because I was needy for attention. Mm-hmm. And I realized, I mean, this is crazy because I felt like, no, I've been through healing. I've dealt with that stuff. Yeah. Like God has like removed my shame. I'm not, but I was still carrying that false name of neediness. And the Lord brought me through this beautiful process of reminding me how he's already spoken a better word over me. And we can unpack that later if you want to. But I just began to look through scripture at the names that God speaks over his children from Genesis to Revelation. What does it mean that we're made in the image of God? What does it mean that we're God's children? What does it mean that, you know, God calls us righteous, like things like that. And began to, in my own sort of healing journey, began to write something that I felt like was perhaps more universal for other people as well. Mm. That's a long-winded way of talking about that.
Girl, it was great. I'm like, you're such a good communicator. No, I think that was a wonderful way to sum that up. But what I want to add to that is for our listeners, viewers, is that you really take those universal themes and you help make them personal through your own story, but then also with some exercises and some invitations through your own healing or from your own sort of imagination. But so one of them I want to ask you about is this surprised by joy exercise where you kind of adapted and you tell some stories. This just feels like a really practical, immediate step that someone who feels shame or a little like stuck and confused about who they are right now, which I think is also kind of universal. This just feels like a really good entry point. So will you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So surprised by joy it's a spiritual practice that I learned from somebody else. It's a spiritual practice where you, you sit in the presence of God and before you do that, you almost have to do the work of like, okay, I am sitting in your presence, Lord. I will not take on shame or condemnation because that's not from you. As I sit in your presence, I'm going to assume that this is a loving presence and an accepting presence. Because even that, sometimes we try to be with the Lord and all we're thinking about is how terrible we are and all these bad. Right. No. Like in this moment, Lord, would you please just remind me who you are? So you almost have to have this like out of body experience. Just remember, like the Lord is speaking love and goodness and acceptance over you. And then, in this exercise, you spend some time with the Holy Spirit just asking God to bring to mind things from your childhood. Now, I know childhood stuff is not safe for everybody, but under the umbrella of like what feels safe to you, begin to ask, okay, where in my life have I felt God's presence? Maybe a moment in nature, maybe a sense of feeling like someone was there, but you weren't exactly sure, you couldn't necessarily name that, but looking back, you can go, oh, maybe that was the presence of God. Maybe there was a mentor in your life that helped you experience God. Maybe there was a piece of art or a piece of music or an activity. You just sort of ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind places in your childhood throughout your life where you have experienced God's presence. And part of me doing that exercise, Nicole, was for a number of reasons. One, like I said, going back to some of my childhood pain and trauma, I was trying to figure out, God, were you there before I knew you? Mm-hmm. And of course, we know that by faith. Like, we know God was always there. Like, Psalm 139, God knew us before we knew him. Like, but I want to know that through encounter. I wanted to know that the way that even David talks about in Psalm 139, knowing God intimately, like knowing God specifically, tenderly, passionately, like experiencing God's presence. And so I just began to pray, God, would you show me that you were there in my childhood before I knew you? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit's goodness, I began to remember several experiences where I felt God's presence before I even knew the name of Jesus, because I didn't become a Christian until a little bit later. And here's the crazy thing, Nicole, if we have time to tell this story, this is one of my favorite stories. So I'm writing about names. I'm thinking about names. I'm praying about, God, will you show me you're there in my childhood? I'm walking through that spiritual exercise. So all of these threads are coming together as only God can write a narrative, right? For all the pieces to come together. And at the time, I was meeting with a spiritual director for about 4 or 5 years to work through some of my grief from years earlier. And we were actually wrapping up our time together. It was going to be our last session together. And we were meeting over Zoom because it was in the middle of the pandemic. Mm. So, okay, she actually doesn't know that I'm praying those things. She doesn't know I'm walking through this practice. She doesn't know I'm praying God will show me that he was there in my childhood. But before I even tell you what happened there, I have to go back a little bit further. So my first childhood memory, I don't even know if it's a memory, Nicole, as much as it's like the family legend that we've been told again and again and again at all the holidays, all that, like our family legend, like the first memory my parents talk about is they took me camping when I was about a year and a half, in the Seattle area. And I would not stay in my sleeping bag. And my parents were like, this is just, you know, she's being a naughty little girl. She won't stay in her sleeping bag. Well, my parents soon realized that the reason that I couldn't stay in my sleeping bag was the same reason they couldn't stay in their sleeping bags. And it's because the ground was shaking because we were actually camping at Mount St. Helens and it was beginning to erupt. This was 1980. And so we were far enough away that we were safe and we got out of there. But that was that's our family, like, ethos, like the myth of the family that we survived Mount St. Helens. So that's my earliest family memory. It's the earliest story my parents tell about me. So, you know that background. I'm praying with my spiritual director. Yeah. In the back of my mind is, Lord, show me you were there before I knew you. So we're praying. We're ending our time together. And she says to me, Aubrey, this may sound weird to you, but there is an image and there is a name that I feel like God wants me to share with you. And I believe it's a name that God has for you. And so she
were you just like this? I would have like grabbed onto my desk. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe this is happening.
I'd been with her for 4 years. So she's always like hitting me with like profound words from God. And I'm always sobbing in our time together.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, it's coming here. Whatever it is, it's going to be, you know. Well, she pulls up again, we're on Zoom. So she pulls up a picture on the screen of a flower called an avalanche lily. And she says, it's a flower that only grows in places of destruction, devastation. And, you know, the metaphor at first was pretty obvious, right? Like life springing from the ashes, you know, a beautiful image. But then she stops herself and she says, but here's the thing. And I don't know if this is going to sound weird. She says, but there's a very specific avalanche lily that I feel like God wants me to show you. She pulls up another image on the screen. This time it's from a newspaper clipping. It literally is a picture of the avalanche lily. And it says, life springs back to Mount St. Helens. Mm. And I was like, wait, hold up. Did you just pick this one because you liked it? And she goes, no, no, no. I know it sounds weird, but God told me to show you the avalanche lily from Mount St. Helens. He's saying avalanche lily is his name for you. And I'm sobbing at this point, Nicole. And she doesn't even know why I'm sobbing. And I'm like, no, 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 you don't understand. It's not even just the name Avalanche Lily. It's the fact that you are showing me an Avalanche Lily from Mount St. Helens, which is like the place where our stories began in my family. And I have been praying that God would show me that he was there before I knew him. And this is the answer to that prayer. And I sat there bawling like a baby because it was like, oh, Lord, only you in your kindness could take all of these wacky and wild pieces of my soul that I've been trying to piece together and bring before you. And in such a beautiful way, like bring all of the narratives together just to show me in this kind, tender, personal way that you knew me before I knew you. Mm. And that name, Avalanche Lily, and that place, like the fact that God was saying, look, I was there at your earliest memory, the beginning of your family stories, that just gave me the strength to kind of keep going in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of my own healing. And then of course added to like my passion to write this book, which is I do believe that God is speaking names over all of his children. And it may not be a personal like moment like that, but of course we know we have the name of Jesus being spoken over us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's totally the question I was going to ask, which I feel like people listen and they're so inspired by this story, but there's a little part of them that thinks, God doesn't love me that way. Or like, I don't have a relationship like that. Yeah. Or that hasn't happened. So what would you want to say directly to someone who's thinking that?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I have actually done this exercise in groups, and it can, like, some people come back and they're like, the Lord told me I am his pearl of great price, you know? And other women are like, or men are even like, well, God didn't say anything to me, so I guess I'm not, you know. So yeah. I think what I would say, and this is even the danger of writing a book like this, and I do talk about this in the book. I think that every single one of God's children can pray that God will show us personally, tenderly, and tangibly in a way that would meet our personal needs, that he loves us, sees us, and knows us. And I believe God is faithful to answer that prayer. But beyond that, God has already given us his word, right? And in the word of God, throughout the scriptures, we find beautiful ways that the Lord has named his children, the word, you know, words that God speaks over us. We are in Jesus, we're new, we're clothed in righteousness, we're his beloved children. I mean, all of these powerful names that we have. So we don't have to look further than his word. But I would say ultimately, Nicole, like going back to your question, what I wouldn't want us to ever do is to get lost in the pursuit of some like special moment where God gives us a name, because ultimately the name God gives us is the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. And so we ultimately are resting in, pointing to, covered by his name alone. And that's the name that matters.
And I think, and I think that one thing that you just said, knowing that the Bible is full of identity markers, God can take something from his word and make it very personal to you. And that's what I try to encourage people to know too, is like, I know you may not feel like you've had this like prophetic moment, like, and maybe you have, have had an Avalanche Lily type experience, but have you had a time where you felt moved and you wondered if something you were reading was really written for you? It was. Like, you can actually rely on that as a real feeling and a real experience. And the sort of promise that comes to my mind is like, if you will seek me and find me if you seek me with all of your heart.
Amen.
Like, just for anyone out there who's feeling like, I feel far from God. I feel like I'm doing all the right things, which maybe you can speak to that. I feel like I'm trying hard, but how do we balance trying hard and actual acceptance and true knowing, like a true sense of being known? What does that look like in your life?
So, for me, this is a really practical thing, because I struggle with this constantly. My constant battle is that, like, quit striving. Wait, I'm striving again. Wait, trying to earn my way to the table so I know God and other people approve of me. Nope, stop doing that. That's not, oh, here I am. Like, that's just, and I think that's so many people's story, right? So I would say one of the things I write about in a chapter called Unveiled is how when I have a tendency to do that, and I think this is a good word for all of your listeners, because we all struggle with this, whether it's approval or it's achievement or it's, I don't know, something else, right? I used to really beat myself up over this, like, oh, Aubrey, you know better than this. You've been walking with Jesus. You're more mature. You're leading people. You should not be. And I found that if we can like sort of approach those broken, unwhole parts of ourselves with more grace and more kindness, I actually think that's a better way to approach our pain and our our hurt. And instead, what I've realized is I can go, oh, this just means I need Jesus, right? Like, oh yeah, it's like we have to re-gospel ourselves all the time. Oh, I'm here again because I am trying to save myself. I'm here again because I'm trying to make myself a god. I'm here again because I'm looking for fulfillment and something else that is not promised to me. And so just to like, oh, little heart, slow down a little bit. You're loved. You're approved. God, here, take this. Can you please transform it and take care of it for me? Because otherwise I'm going to keep going on this hamster wheel. Instead, I'm going to just give it to you. I feel like it's just this constant act of surrendering, re-gospeling ourselves and being kind to ourselves. Like I think we are just quick to, we're quick to berate ourselves or to brush it aside as if it's nothing. But I think just doing the work with the Holy Spirit, surrendering, then God is kind and faithful to show up in that.
So good. I love that. So switching gears a little bit, obviously the book is amazing and I recommend it for everyone. Especially and particularly if this is an area that you're, that you know deeply that you're struggling with, because it's just sort of a sense of disconnection from a deeper purpose or you wonder like where your identity is coming from. And I liked, just like you, Aubrey, I love to say, you know, this is the current that we live in. This is the current we swim in, and it's a strong current. So basically, if you're not intentionally moving toward the truth of God, you're unintentionally moving away from it. It's not, you don't need to feel shame about it. It's because it's a really strong current that we have to live in.
Yeah.
So for anyone in that particular case, I would say a specific recommendation for them. But I'd love to just ask, like, as our listeners are getting to know you, like, as now the book has come out, kind of what are you looking ahead to? What are you excited about in the next few months?
I love this question. So I you can tell because you read my bio. There's a lot that I'm doing, and I want to be someone who's like, I'm just excited about being still before the Lord. And but actually, the things I'm really excited about, I'm working on a kids' book right now on grief and lament, and so I'm so excited about that. That is like thrilling to me. I am excited about being able to, now again, the world is opening up, traveling around and, and sharing with men and women who God says they are and being able to talk about those things. I am excited about, I finished up grad school in the middle of all this. So now I'm going to have applause from classes.
So
there will be some time to just be and be still. And I'll say one more thing I'm excited about, Nicole. We, you know, my husband and I are church planters, and it has been a wild, you're a pastor. It's been a wild and wacky season for pastors. And I do feel like slowly but surely the tide is beginning to turn as far as like no longer trying to play defense or figure everything out.
Yeah.
Seems like we can move back to what the mission of the church is. Not that we haven't been doing that all along, but it feels like the Holy Spirit is moving into a new season. And I feel very grateful for that as well.
That is so encouraging. I mean, for an introvert, you sure have a lot of energy. Maybe it's because you're in your pajamas, like in your basement. I'm not sure why.
I energy save in my pajamas. That's accurate. You've
like, your batteries are fully charged and you're like, here I am. Ready
to roll. I'm ready to go from my home in my pajamas.
Oh my goodness. I love that. Okay, Aubrey, this is the last question that we ask. When I remember, this is what we ask everyone.
Okay, I love
just
it.
Just to take it to like a lighter place. What is like a product or an app or like something that is so small, but it is totally bringing you life right now?
This is one of my favorite questions. It's not a product or an app. I hope it's okay.
It's okay. Whatever it is, it's going to be good.
Okay. Again, this is where I'm like,
I feel like it should be your pajama pants. I don't know.
Like, it probably should be my pajama pants. I feel like I should be saying something really like spiritual and deep right now, but I'm not going to.
No, that's, it's not supposed to be that.
I have been in a deep dive on Netflix of Korean dramas, especially one called Crash Landing on You. If you haven't watched it, I'm telling you, it is good television.
You lost me on deep dive in Korean dramas. Is it subtitled or is it American?
It is subtitles. You have to like subtitles. And if you're not, okay, if you're not someone who likes subtitles, you can get there. You just got to give it a little bit of time.
Totally.
It's not a show you can watch if you don't speak Korean. It's not a show you can watch while you're doing dishes because you do have to be able to like read the subtitles, but the storyline is so good and so epic.
Wait, what is it again?
Landing on You. You can find
Crash
it on
Landing
Netflix.
On You.
It's long,
done.
It's sweeping, it's epic, but that is bringing me so much joy. It is like every night I'm like, can I go watch a little more TV?
Is that okay? You're like, is 4 hours too many hours? Or is that okay?
It's not. It's the right amount.
Oh my gosh. You're the first person to recommend a Netflix show, and I like it.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
We cover like lip glosses, free apps, like everything. Got it. You never know where we're going to go.
I'm all about K-dramas on Netflix. They're so good.
This is amazing. Aubrey, thank you so much for your time. Guys, everything you need to follow Aubrey on socials to get her book is in the show notes. And we are so glad you were able to join us. Thank you for giving us your time and your wisdom and your vulnerability. It was awesome.
Thanks so much for having me, Nicole. Appreciate you.
Okay, see you guys next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Let's Be Real podcast. If you have a question for the show, you can send it to me at Nicole@NicoleEunice.com. And hey, if you're enjoying this, we'd love for you to like, subscribe, share it with your friends, pass it on, shout it from the rooftops, whatever you feel like doing, because the reality is, let's get as many people getting real as possible. Talk to you soon.